precious things that a pastor is able to do, one of the nice things, the glad things, the joyful things, is one, marry a couple, bring them together, and secondly, also to dedicate their children to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing for, you know, a pastor to be able to do, and really an honor and a privilege. Funerals are tough. Funerals are tough. But we thank the Lord for this precious opportunity. I'm going to ask you if you would quickly turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Book of Joshua, chapter 4. We've been in Joshua for the past few weeks, and we've been learning a lot from the experience of the children of Israel through this book. And so, as we turn to chapter 4, the first 9 verses have so much meaning to them. And if we're not careful, we'll kind of cross along with the children of Israel to the other side and really miss the nuggets, the golden nuggets that God wants us to see in this chapter. And we've been talking about challenging ourselves, and last week specifically about breaking the routines in our life. Let's read this together in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 and 9. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men when he had appointed for the children of Israel, one from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan. And the Lord spoke to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they were there to this day. And they were there to this day. So last week we spoke about breaking the routine of simply going through the motions in our relationship with God. We said that we stimulate and mature our relationship with God by doing what? By breaking routines of religious formality and challenging our hearts to go deeper in intimacy with Jesus. And so unless we allow the Holy Spirit to continually stimulate our relationship with Him and take us to unfamiliar places in the heart of Jesus, we will die a slow spiritual death in a desert place of complacency, because after a while, routine gets old. When routine gets old, intimacy fades, and all that is left is empty formality. I was coming off the train the other day, and they have someone that sells flowers at the bottom of the train station. And, you know, time to time, I see men stopping off and getting flowers for either their girlfriend or their wives. You know, and many times I just passed that florist downstairs, you know, and I just hurried off to my car so that I can get home. And as I came down the stairs the other day, I walked right by the florist. He was selling some flowers. Some nice roses were there. And I walked right by him, you know, and I'm walking towards the car, and it just kind of hit me. I said, you know, I can't remember the last time I brought my wife some flowers. And, you know, one voice on the other side of my head says, well, you know, she knows you love her. And the other voice said, yeah, but break the routine. And so I bought my wife some flowers that day. And she was so joyful when she received them. It's like, you know, I was giving her the greatest gift in the world. So I only paid $5 for them. She was so happy. Break the routines in your life. You know that God loves you. And God knows that you love him. But sometimes we go through the same steps that become such a formality, and you know what happens? You lose the intimacy. Oh, you're still reading your Bible, I hope. You're still praying. You still gather together in gatherings, but there's no intimacy that's there. And so what the Holy Spirit wants to do is he wants to stimulate our love relationship with Jesus by allowing us to break routines and changing our position, our heart position before the Lord, so that as you stimulate it, listen, you know, one of the things that the winter does is it makes the ground very hard. And so a gardener, someone that wants to raise something in their garden, the first thing they do in the sign of spring, when things begin to change, you know, God changes the seasons, that the gardener goes into his garden, he begins to turn the soil, he begins to stimulate what's in the soil. The soil is already there. But he begins to stimulate it. He begins to do things with it. He begins to turn it because it needs a change in the position in which it's in so that it can grow and bring forth much fruit, much the way our relationship with the Lord must be. We need to set out, we talked about last week, from our place of comfortable routine and then go after to move progressively forward towards the presence of God, pursuing it and not being satisfied until we lay hold of the heart of Jesus deeply. The Jordan here represented the dividing point where they, the children of Israel, had been, and the place where they were going. It was the dividing point. On one side was the desert that they were leaving. On the other side was the promise and the inheritance that God was giving them. The Jordan represent the great divide. They needed to cross through this Jordan in order to get from one place to the other. It was the place where they were going, the place they were coming from, going to the place that they were going. It was a reference point, this Jordan, in the journey that God was taking them on, and he wanted them to remember it, to talk about it, to celebrate it in generations to come by marking the place they were crossing. Everybody say with me, mark the place. This doesn't mean that they had come to the end of their journey, but it was to be a reference point in their mind, in their journey with God, commemorating the faithfulness of God in their life. And so God tells them in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here and out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. You know what God was telling them? He was saying to them, mark the place and move forward. Mark the place and move forward. Everybody say with me, mark the place and move forward. Come on, try it again. Mark the place and move forward. Don't get ahead of me. One of the essential principles of our walk with God is to mark the crossing points in our journey and use them as a reference to his faithfulness in our life. Let me repeat that. One of the essential principles of our walk with God is to mark the crossing points in our journey and use them as a reference to his faithfulness in our life. Listen, many times we take a bridge and it has a toll, right? And so you're going to go on this journey, and you know you have to take this bridge in order to get to the other side. What is the first thing you think about when you think about this journey and getting to that bridge? You think about the toll. You think about the toll. It's the reference point. It's the crossing point is the place in which you're finally going to get over to the other side, but you need to go through this toll. It's the reference. It's the place in which you must come to, and it's the reference in which you need to get to in order to get to the other side. It's the reference point. It's the cross, the reference of the crossing point where you're going. So we mark the place by declaring, God met me here. It becomes a significant point of encounter between ourselves and God that encourages us to push forward in our journey with him and declares in the spiritual realm, God is faithful with me. When we come to that point in our lives, in our journey with the Lord, and we mark it, God met me here, God was with me here, God was faithful with me here, we mark it, and as we mark it, we're saying to all of the spiritual realm, to everyone that is around us, God met me at this point. Throughout the Old Testament, people marked the crossing places in their journey with God as they encountered him. Think about this. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. We're talking about a man named Abram, who actually was a very wealthy man. He had everything. He had all of the inheritance of his father in the place where he was living. He had all of his family members. He was a very important person in his community. One day, God says to him, Abram, I want you to take your wife, your cattle, everything that belongs to you, and I want you to go on a journey. Where am I going, Lord? Don't worry about it. You just follow me, and we go on this journey. For 70 years, Abram went on this journey with God. But he marked the places along in the journey where God met him. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. Wow, right there, that's a marking point. God is speaking to you. God is promising you something. And he's saying, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. What did he do? He commemorated the place. He marked the place, the crossing point in his journey in which God spoke to him. Again, in Genesis chapter 13 and 18, God speaks to him again. He converses and confirms to Abraham's heart again. Then Abraham moved his tent. He was going further into his journey and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And look at what Abram did. And he built an altar there to the Lord. What did he do? He marked the spot that God had taken him to. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. God said, you need to get to this place. And when Abraham, now his name is changed, built an altar there. Listen, commemorating God's faithfulness is a witness of God's truth in our life. Let me repeat that. Commemorating God's faithfulness is a witness of God's truth in our life. As Abraham built the altars in the crossing points of his life, his son Isaac watched and learned how to mark and encounter points with God in his own life. And now in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 25, it says, so he who, Isaac, the son of Abraham, built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Isaac received also an encounter from the Lord. The place in which God talked to him. The place in which God spoke to him. The place in which God covenanted with him. And as he began to dig up the, as he began to mark the place and build the altar, his servants went even one step further. They dug a well there. You know why? Because everybody needed to know that when they came to the place in which God spoke to Isaac, they were able to drink from that well. They were able to refresh themselves from the very covenant that God had made with Isaac. Wow. I love that. He wasn't just going to keep it to himself, Brother Pete. His servants dug a well so that everybody could drink when they got there. Everybody was going to have a good time with what God had promised Isaac. And so, as we commemorate the Lord in our life, it is a witness of God's truth. As Isaac commemorated God's encounters in his own life, Jacob, his son, learned the importance of marking his own encounters with God. In Genesis 32 and verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And then again in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 15, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. He commemorated the place, in the crossing point in his journey with God. He commemorated it. He marked it. This is where God spoke to me. This is where God gave his covenant with me. This is where God promised me. This is where God gave me my inheritance. Listen, one of the reasons that the devil is so successful in leading people into discouragement, into despair, and into fear is because we fail to mark the encounter points of God's faithfulness in our life, and we forget his loving kindness during the challenges of our next crossing point. So we nonchalantly walk right through, you know, the place in which God meets us, in which God promises us, the place in which God heals us, the place in which God provides us our finances, the place in which God provides salvation in our family. We walk right by them because we're so excited about getting to the next point that we leave behind without a marking place. And what happens? The next time the devil attacks us, the next challenge that we have in a crossing point in our life, we forget about everything that God has done, and we fall into discouragement, despair, and fear in our life. There's no marking back to remind us of God's faithfulness. God said, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Remember that the priests were carrying, we spoke about this last week, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing what? What did it symbolize? Who can tell me? The presence of God, right? They were carrying the Ark, which symbolized the presence of God among the people. The Bible says here that the priests' feet stood firm. Listen. God's presence stands firm in the midst of all adversity, all chaos, and the deepest challenges in our life. Think about this, that the waters of the Jordan were rolled up like a scroll on each side of them, but God's presence was firm and in total control and in the midst of his people. The word that the Hebrew text uses here, the word firm, is the Hebrew word kun. Follow it with me. Where it says that the priest's feet stood firm. The word means certain. It means confirmed. It means faithful. It means perfect. It is the reference to making provision in the impossible situation. Wow. So when the text is telling us that the feet of the priest stood firm. Remember, the priests were carrying the ark. They represented at that moment the presence of the Lord. What it's telling us is that in the most impossible of situations, crossing a sea with an entire nation, that it was perfect, God's presence was faithful, God's presence was certain. It was firm planted in the place of where his people were. Wow. Listen, the Holy Spirit is saying that his presence in our life is certain. Everybody say certain. He will confirm God's faithfulness perfectly while making provision for us in the most humanly impossible crossing points in our journey with him. God tells them, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst, underline that in your Bible, of the Jordan, for the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Look at that word midst. It's the Hebrew word tovak. And what it means is the center. Everybody say the center. It is the reference to going through the middle part of the road. How many of us take a 3-lane highway and we're either on the left or the right? Come on, let me see your hand. You're either on the left or the right. One thing that my dad taught me is always try to take the center lane. The center. Because if something appears in front of you, you at least have the option of going into the other lane. But when you're on the extreme parts, you don't know where to go if something were to just appear in front of you. This word midst, it says that you are to take the stones in the midst of the Jordan where the feet of the priests were firm. The presence of God was firm. You were to take the stones from that area. The priests and the ark were stationed in the middle of the Jordan. God wanted to make sure that the stones were gathered from the place where God's presence stood firm and did the impossible to provide the crossing points for them. Listen, greater challenges present greater risk. Everybody say this with me. Greater the challenge, the more the risk. Greater challenges present greater risks, right? But greater risks offer greater reward. Everybody say, greater risk offers greater reward. People are afraid to risk, and it's understandably slow. Think about the stock market in the last just week. Some people have risked everything. The greater the challenge that is in front of you. Listen, they needed to leave everything behind in order to get to the other side. Hello? They didn't have bridges in order to cross in those days. And listen, don't get, you know, into these beliefs that, you know, this was just a little shallow body of water that, you know, you could just kind of skip across whenever you needed to. This was a deep sea. That'll be a sermon for another time, how we'll look at that. But they were going through a deep sea. The water, this was deep, okay? And so what happens is people think, well, you know, if I left something on the other side, I go back and get it. That's not the way it works. You leave everything behind. So your challenge is great to get to the other. You risk everything. You risk everything that you're leaving behind. The only life you've ever known for 40 years. But the greater the risk, it offers the greatest of rewards. Risk can be reckless and destructive if taken carelessly. But calculated risk with careful planning can result in great reward. Listen, God wants us to know that he's done all the planning and prepared the greatest reward for those who are willing to risk everything and cross over with his presence. The moment that we try to take shortcuts and change directions in our journey with God, we get ourselves overconfident in our own ability without God, and we risk destruction in our life. So we start off good sometimes in our relationship with the Lord. We risk everything. We come to Jesus. We lay it all down at the cross. And we promise, Lord, I am going to allow you full access and I submit fully to your will in my life. And as we go along, we're now going in the middle of this, you know, roadway that's going off somewhere. And we decide we're pretty good at this. We really don't need the Lord, you know, on this journey. We're doing okay. And so we decide, instead of going through the center of this thing, we're going to go around it. We're going to try to swim through this thing. Destruction is ahead. Listen, the temptation would have been to take the stones on the edge of the shore on the other side of the Jordan. In other words, let me wait, Lord, till I get to the other side of the Jordan. I'll take those stones and then I'll present them before my children one day and say, you know, the Lord brought us out. So that would have been the temptation, the easy way. The safe side. The stones which would over time become riskless and diminish the power and the miracle of God in their journey. God wanted them to remember his presence firm among them, that in every commemoration he would be the one that is exalted and all the glory would go up to him concerning the crossing point. God says to them, take the stones from the midst of the Jordan. Where are they? They're by the feet of the priests that are standing firm. Why, God? Why am I doing this? How come I can't just go and tell my children this one day or my grandchildren this one? Joshua 4, verses 6 and 7. That this may be a sign. Underline that in your Bible. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? That word sign that's there normally is used in reference to miracles. But here, the word off in the original text is used. That word off means a flag. It means a beacon. It means a monument. Listen, when you put a flag somewhere, what do you do? Many of us, you're marking. You're marking. Thank you. You mark. So when our astronauts landed on the moon many years ago, what did they do? The Americans were here. Right? Sometimes you go by a house and they have a flag outside, you know, that represents something of that family. They marked their house in front of the entire neighborhood of what it is that, you know, they believe or who they are. So it's a flag. It's a marking point. It's a beacon. You know what a beacon does? A beacon in the midst of the night is the only light that you're able to see. We took a cruise a few years ago, and in the middle of the ocean, when everything is pitch black, I'll tell you what, we get spoiled around here. Because even if you live in the countryside, there's always some sort of little light somewhere. You know, even if somebody is miles away, you see this thing. But when you're out in the middle of an ocean, it is pitch black. Come on, some of us have taken these cruises, right? At night, it's pitch black. You can't see anything. So here is this beacon, far away on a shoreline somewhere, and it puts out this signal. It's a marker. It says, this is the way. This is the point. This is the crossing point. It's a monument. A monument tells a story of history somehow. It is there so that everyone that passes by knows, hey, this is what happened at this place. So this is what this word is telling us. It's telling us that it is a monument, that it is a flag This word sign that's used where he says this may be a sign among you and your children. It is the reference to a memorial marker, the same way that they commemorated the feast, the Passover feast, as a memorial marker over God's faithfulness in their lives. When their children asked them, what do these stones represent? They were to use the marker of the stones to commemorate God's faithfulness to the next generation. Are you getting this, church? Because many times what happens is we experience the glory of God in our lives. But the generation after us, our children, our grandchildren, never hear of everything God has done in our lives at the marking point, the faithfulness of God. This is why when we dedicate children like we do this morning, we encourage the parents, make a marker in your life. Tell your children of what God is doing in your life. So when a child comes up to you and says, Daddy, what is this Bible all about? Why do we have this book in our house that we're able to express what it means and what it does in our lives? Mommy, why is it that I see you on your knees in the morning? What is it that you're doing? This is why we're on our knees and we begin to express that out. Mommy, Daddy, why is it that we go to church? Why is it that we do these things? Why is it that we take time away, you know, from, you know, sleeping in on a certain day? You can take that on and on. On and on. It's a marker. It's a memorial marker that when the next generation, I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful memories that I have in my own household is how my grandmother used to take all the grandchildren and we used to sit by her, literally sit at her feet, literally. And we used to listen to all of the wonderful stories that she had of as she was growing up and how the Lord worked in her life and how the Lord saved her and, you know, the things that God would do in provision in their families, especially after she got married and during the war when Mussolini's armies came in and took everything from my grandparents' home and even exiled my grandfather because he was a preacher of the Word of God, that they sent him out to prison and, you know, in this day, that every time they sent him to prison, he would start a church there. They stopped sending him to prison. Too many churches were popping up. I'm not kidding. That you tell the next generation that the next generation isn't growing up religiously. Come on. That they're growing up with an experience of a living God, a wonderful Heavenly Father that loves them. Everybody say, mark the place. Move forward. Mark the place and move forward in your life. They were to use the marker of the stones to commemorate God's faithfulness to the next generation. So he says, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over to the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Look at that word cut off. Those two words, cut off, it's one word in the Hebrew. It's the word karath, where it says that the waters of the Jordan were cut off, meaning failed. It means that the waters of the Jordan failed. They were consumed, is another word. The Bible says that when they walked across on dry ground, not on mud. The waters failed. They were literally, listen now, consumed from underneath their feet so that they were kicking up dust in the midst of the path that was cut through a sea. Are you getting this? God parts these waters, and you would think that all you would see is all this bunch of mud that's all over. How are we going to get through? How are we going to get our carts through? How are we going to get our animals through? How are we going to get our little ones through? How are we going to the other side? God is saying, listen, you tell them that the waters of the Jordan, they were cut off. That word means that they were consumed. They were kicking up dust in the middle of a sea while they were going to the other side. Oh, man. Come on. Shout now. Woo! I bet you they never thought that they loved us so much when they were going through the midst of that place. We take these memorial markers in our journey with God to commemorate His faithfulness in the crossing points, and we leave behind memorial markers. We leave behind memorial markers. We take memorial markers with us, but we leave behind memorial markers to commemorate what? God and I walked this place. God and I walked this place. I love this verse. I've so many times just walked right past this verse. I remember the stones that they took with them and put on the other side. But here's a verse that's going to blow your mind. Verse 9. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So he's taking stones from the midst of the Jordan, the place where the feet of the priest stood firm. He's taking them, he marks the place, and takes them as a memorial so they can talk about these things. Now Joshua takes stones from the other side and he says, I'm going to put these stones right there, right by the feet of the priest that stood firm. Now, think about this for a moment. We're going to close in just 2 seconds. But bring your mind here. Why did Joshua put stones from the other side of the Jordan in the Jordan? Anybody ever think about that? Why would Joshua take dry stones and leave them in the middle of the ocean? Who would ever see them when the waters return to cover them up at the bottom of the ocean until Jesus comes? You ever think about that? Why would he do that? Didn't he have anything better to do? Did he have his protein shake that morning? Listen, we are limited to the natural environment and activity around us. What we see, what we touch, what we smell, what we hear, and our whole life revolves around these things. In the spiritual realm, there is unseen activity that continues to take place long after we leave the crossing point. What takes place in the spiritual realm now eventually affects us further along in our journey. Did you get that? So God meets us in this crossing point. He does great things in our life. But we walk right by this place. And we go on to the next place. And listen, there is still a warfare that is going on in the spiritual realm based on the place we just left. You know why? The enemy just loves to come back and just start tweaking us with the things of the past. You know what I'm talking about? The areas that we're weak in, the areas that held us bondage in our life. We leave that point. We come to the Lord, we get delivered. You know, God does a great, you know, awesome job in our life. And we go on and, you know, we almost kind of forget what happened at that moment in which God broke all the chains of hell against us. And we go on. But there's still warfare. The enemy hasn't given up. So you know what Joshua was doing? After they picked up these stones of what God had done, he was going to mark the place in what God had done in their lives. Joshua was leaving those memorial stones in the midst of the Jordan so that every time the devil took a stroll there, these stones would be a reminder of God's faithfulness to him and the children of Israel. Are you getting this, church? In effect, those stones say, God and I were here. We mark and claim this territory as God's faithfulness in our lives. Stand with me. And this is what the Bible says, just so we don't go past this verse too quickly. And those stones, they are there to this day. Almost 4,000 years ago, Joshua takes these stones and he's saying to the whole demonic realm, God and I were here. I claim this. As long as this earth is here, I claim this territory with what God has done. And they're there to this day. Bow your heads with me. None of this is going to make any sense unless our heart is right with God. Markers, memorial stones, it's just gibberish. So this morning, if you have not made your path straight with God, every other path in your life will be crooked. It'll be just a bunch of shortcuts trying to get to the end, and then when we get to the end, we're going to be really dismayed. And so God, the Holy Spirit, this morning is just seeking out our hearts. Just take a moment. Just take a moment. Seek out your heart. Seek out your heart with the Holy Spirit. This right now, there is a tug of war going on between heaven and hell over what God is revealing to us in this moment. God wants us to walk through in our plan of salvation. But we need to make a decision whether or not we're going to take shortcuts or we're going to go right down in the center lane, pick up those stones, and take them with us. So if this morning you haven't made your decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not here to embarrass you, but this is real stuff. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is why we're here. This is why we come together to edify one another, to exhort one another. I love the word that is used in the King James, to provoke one another. That's not a passé word. But it challenges us to go deeper in our walk with Jesus.